On Wednesday morning, just as the Supreme Court was poised to announce its momentous rulings on the Defense of Marriage Act in California's Proposition 8, Ray, my producer, and I were wending our way through the New Jersey countryside on our way to a long-scheduled interview with legendary civil rights activist, the Right Reverend John Shelby Spong, retired Episcopal Bishop of Newark. You'll hear the fascinating conversation that we recorded at Bishop Spong's home on a future show. The interview ranged from his lifetime of ministry and activism to his most recent book, which, by the way, I highly recommend, The Fourth Gospel, Tales of a Jewish Mystic. But I also took the opportunity to ask Bishop Spong, who during his long career moved from ancestral racism and homophobia to an inclusive vision of the sacredness of all of God's children, for his reaction to the breaking news out of the Supreme Court and his thoughts on what the future might bring.
Well, I think that what has happened is there's been a consciousness rising in this country for about a generation, maybe two generations, and it's finally achieved the majority. And the court, give it credit, it's a pretty conservative court. But the court seems to me to be able to read the signs of the times. And when you get a situation where to try to repress the rising consciousness creates more disorder than to affirm the rising consciousness, and I think that's the judgment they've made. And the court, on one of the rulings was 5-4, which means it's a pretty divided court. I don't. The other rulings probably 5-4 too. They do a lot of 5-4 rulings, but I don't know that at this point. That means that the consciousness has now overcome the majority. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to agree with it. So there'll be, but you know, we had a 9-0 ruling from the court on the desegregation Brown versus Board of Education. That's because the Supreme Court Chief Justice was Earl Warren, and he thought that was such a major shift in the consciousness that he just really lobbied the other judges to make it unanimous, and he brought it about, which makes this really hard to argue. If it's a 5-4 decision, people will say, well, the next election will get a person in who will pack the court. Somebody's more like Weeble. But I don't believe that's possible, because I don't think you can win an election today mouthing the sort of homophobia that we used to mouth politically. Yeah. That day is gone. You don't resist consciousness. Nor do you turn it around. You know, nobody would contemplate resegregating. No one would contemplate taking the vote away from women. Yeah. Nobody would contemplate forcing gay and lesbian people to go back into the closet today. That we just passed that. And consciousness doesn't go in a two-way street. It's always a one-way direction. You're always more open to the future. So I rejoice in it. And I rejoice in those churches that put their lives on the line when the issue wasn't clear, and made their witness. And I can think of heroes that in every denomination that have done this, and they are to be rewarded today. I don't mean somebody's going to reward them, but they'll be rewarded in knowing that they stood for what was right, and the victory is clear.
What do you say to these groups like Southern Baptists that are saying we're going to fight this and we'll see that we don't recognize this as a valid decision and we're going to oppose it? What do you say?
When I lived in the rural part of the South when the desegregation ruling came down and the order to integrate the schools, we had the same sort of massive resistance to the law of the land. Actually, in Virginia, they closed public schools for a period of time. They would rather have their white children ignorant than have them be educated with black children. That was the mentality. And what happens? Well, look at history. You know, what has happened? That point of view became, it was sort of vicious and vigorous at the beginning, and it became more and more distorted. Nobody respects the Ku Klux Klan today. What happens is that people who have those deep prejudices die. And their children adjust very well. I remember going back to a little town I served, and a person who is now one of the town fathers invited my wife and me to come to lunch. And the whole purpose, and this is 25, 30 years after we, maybe 40 years after we'd been away from that town, the whole purpose of that lunch was for him to say to me, I know how my father treated you, and I know my father was wrong, and you were right, and I just wanted you to know that I know that. Well, that's what happens. and he's one of the leading citizens of that little town. And his children, it's not going to be a problem for them. And when you look at the attitudes on gay issues and race issues and female issues among people under 30 years of age, mm-hmm. even the evangelical preacher's children disagree with the evangelical preachers. Right. Time makes ancient good uncouth, said James Russell Lowell. And I think that's where we will go. Someone said, where there's death, there's hope. And the transition takes place when those who can adjust wind up ending their life on this earth. And the people that can adjust will adjust. It takes time, but it never moves backwards. So I would say we live into whatever the future will be. Who would have thought 50 years ago that we would elect an African-American president? Who would have thought that we would elect a woman? And we haven't elected a woman yet, but we've had one come so close that people can now imagine it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Barney Frank came out of the closet as the first gay congressman, and when he finally retired, he was a quite well-respected congressman, and he was on TV this morning pontificating as usual, and a very delightful human being. I have met him, and I really appreciate the contribution. And today, black athletes are coming out. Business executives are coming out. Yeah. It's a different world, and we will live into that world, and it'll be a victory. I'm really confident about that, and I think what you do is love people, but don't engage them. You know, I'm not going to engage somebody who wants to argue about homosexuality. They can argue all they want. I'm not going to engage somebody who wants to argue about whether doctors should bleed patients to get rid of infections in their, because demons are in their bloodstream. Now, those things just disappear, and this will disappear, and we'll be in a much happier place and a better world, a better world.
That's the Right Reverend John Shelby Spong, retired Episcopal Bishop of Newark, New Jersey. You'll hear much more of our far-ranging conversation on a future edition of State of Belief Radio. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. State of Belief Radio is made possible in part by the generous donations of listeners like you. Please visit us online at stateofbelief.com and consider making a contribution today. We'll use it wisely. We'll keep State of Belief on the air, and we'll expand the reach of this program at a time when so very few voices representing an inclusive, respectful approach to interreligious dialogue seem to exist. StateofBelief.com is also where you can find out more about the show, hear extended interviews, watch in-studio videos, read transcripts, and sign up for our podcasts. You'll also find more information about the topics discussed on this week's show. Stay in touch with us, please, through the week on Facebook and Twitter. Contact information is available at stateofbelief.com, including the toll-free listener line 800-856-0277. We encourage you to tell others about the show and encourage them to listen. We want them to be a part of the conversation. And please join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief. The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see what he was.